Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Jackson takes off up the middle. He has the 50 and the 40, still on his feet at the 30. He laterals it back to Justice Hill near sideline at the 30. Keeps the play alive. He dumps it. It looks like it was forward. There's the flag. It's still loose. Raiders bat it down. They're about to fall on top of it. And this ball game is over. The Raiders come to Baltimore and they beat the Ravens 26-23 in a massive effort here on the road.
Final hour, Sean, RJ, and Bobby on a depressing Cowboys Monday
here
on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Thank you for turning it on, leaving it on. That is what Tolo stands for. Nick Eatman, also in Arlington, like Bobby Belt. He will join us at 9:20. We'll crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece at 9:40. Cowboys get worked and embarrassed 44-19. Jerry Jones will join us tomorrow at 8:30. So their next opponent, the Baltimore Ravens, had a really, really bad loss yesterday as well. And this set up a poll question that I put out, and I got a ton of reaction, and I got destroyed by some Tolos. 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. What I asked was, who had the worst loss of the day in the NFL? Kind of a crazy day. Shout out to Detroit Lion Jeff, who was like, hey, relax, breathe, look at what has happened in the first 2 weeks. Here are my options. Cowboys, Ravens lose at home against the Raiders, which you just heard on Baltimore radio. San Francisco loses to Sam Darnold and the Vikings. And then I threw Rams Cardinals in there as well. 1,800 Tolos voted on this. 77% voted Cowboys. Not only did 77% say the Cowboys had the worst loss of the day, I also had many who said, this is a stupid question. I expect more out of you, Sharif, or many saying, I don't. This is even dumb. It's not even a contest. And that surprised me. It surprised me. Now, sometimes I throw out questions just to do like a social study, and I know that we're in the Cowboys market. I get that. But I was expecting some of the homers to maybe vote a different way. But more importantly than that, I was expecting a little more football education in considering the other options, and that did not happen. Maybe I'm the moron. I doubt it, but let me explain myself. The Saints are a better team than the Raiders. And the Saints, this is even before this past weekend. All right, I'm not going to be, you know, act like know-it-all guy and be like, I think the Saints can make some noise in the playoffs now. That is going to be a national talking point. Going into the year, I would think, you know, the Saints could win like 9 games. The Raiders are not going to win 9 games with Gardner Minshew. The Saints have a better quarterback and a better football team than the Raiders. Right? That game was in Baltimore, and the Raiders won. I know the Cowboys scoreboard had a much greater disparity, but you also have to factor in a lesser team in Vegas winning the game. The Vikings, if the Cowboys lost to the Vikings, and San Francisco, that wasn't a fluke loss either. Like, Minnesota was more in control in that game. If the Cowboys lost to Sam Darnold, we're losing our minds here in DFW as well. San Francisco, yeah, they were missing McCaffrey, who's now on the IR. They still had, you know, one of the surprises of the week, and now a running back who many people now know the name of. They're not missing other people. And then the Rams, all I heard about was Hall of Famer Matt Stafford and the Rams this offseason. They got cowboyed by the Arizona Cardinals, who we all figured was a worse team, no doubt about it, than the Saints. So,
yeah, they got some injuries. That's their excuse, right? They got two O-line guys down, you know, and Nacua. Puka is down as well. Look,
I was just surprised. I'm not surprised that the Cowboys led the vote. I'm surprised that it wasn't a little bit closer.
Break it out like this. I'll give these five quarterbacks because these five all won, and they all beat quarterbacks that are better than them. So rank it. Where would you put Derek Carr on this list between Darnold, Mayfield, Kyler, Gardner, and Carr? At best, Carr's the best of the bunch. At worst, he's
behind Kyler and Baker.
Yeah, so maybe third. But it's certainly not. He's certainly appreciably better than Gardner and Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even close. Like, Derek Carr's a legit starting quarterback in this league. Yeah. Sam Darnold is a starting quarterback because J.J. McCarthy got hurt. And Gardner is one of those guys. He's like Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's going to get jobs because teams need quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I could easily make the case that Derek Carr's better than Mayfield or Kyler. I can make the case the other two are better than him or they're about the same. The point is, like, the Cowboys, it's not the worst loss because they lost to a better quarterback. Like, Derek Carr played, he played fine. You know, he didn't have a ton of pass steps because he didn't have to.
I mean, he was awesome early.
Yeah, but he's better than Sam Darnold. Like, Sam Fred's embarrassing. And he's better than Gardner Minshew. And Baltimore losing at home like that, a team that was in the conference championship game last year that was a one seed, it's a tough loss.
So how would you stack these up? Again, the poll question was Cowboys' loss was the worst of the day. Ravens at home against Vegas. San Fran against the Vikings. Rams Cards.
San Fran's the worst. And then
That only got 7% of the vote.
Yeah. And then the Ravens' loss is worse.
Ooh.
And then the Cowboys.
Okay.
Because they were home.
Yeah.
And then the Rams.
So Cowboys' third worst loss of the day.
Yeah.
Bob?
Yeah, I mean, so a lot of it'll come down to, like, which is worse, like getting drubbed by a team you think is decent, or like losing close to a team you think is bad.
Yeah.
And so, like, I mean, that's kind of what this comes down to. I think Baltimore's loss is the worst of the day. Because to me, it's like, you're in control of that game. There's no reason for you to blow it. Like, they were up 10 with 10 minutes left. Like, you should be able to kill the clock, have your defense get into control. The Raiders shouldn't have been able to just march down the field the way they
did. That's true. My reason I put San Fran is because San Fran was like never in that game. They were down like 10 early. You know, they were just never in it.
They got back a little bit. So I would go Dallas next is the worst. San Fran, so here's the thing. San Fran was, it was an impressive victory from the Vikings. That's not sustainable what Minnesota did. Like Minnesota hits a 97-yard touchdown pass. Like they get, there were big chunk plays. Their defense was still leaking yesterday. Mason was 20 carries, 100 yards. Brock Purdy was still pretty good for most of the game. Deebo Samuel had 110 yards. They sacked him a ton. Minnesota had the ball for 23 minutes. Like, I think it was just, it was a not fluky, but I think if they play that game again, San Francisco probably wins it 9 times out of the 10. Mm-hmm. So to me, that was just a little bit more fluky. Minnesota's at home. They deserve a lot of credit. I think Kevin O'Connell's clearly a great coach at this point. Like, he's rising up the list of stud coaches, but Dallas, then San Francisco, then the Rams. But I mean, the Rams game was pretty much the Cowboys game. It's just the Rams were on the road. Obviously they were missing guys. Yeah. Cup, by the way, was seen leaving the stadium in a walking boot. So now he doesn't have Cup or Nacua. Oh,
shocker. By the way, get in your phone calls here. It'll be our final segment for phone calls. We also have some Odyssey app messages with your star up, star down here on Sean and RJ, brought to you by Crown Royal, the official whiskey of the NFL.
Man, and that the Kevin O'Connell you mentioned, he clearly is a really just a tremendous coach. And that is the depressing thing about the Cowboys is that they will never make that hire. They would never do that because Jerry does not want to.
They will at OC.
With OC, they will, but never a head coach because Jerry doesn't want to train on the job. Same thing he said about Lincoln Riley, which I'm fine with. I'm fine with that, but you know. They would not have taken the chance on Mike McDaniel. They would not have taken the chance on Sean McVay or even Kyle Shanahan or anything like that.
Which I do want to point out because you say we never give you credit, Sean. I'm going to give you credit. You were the first one on the Kevin O'Connell bandwagon on this show. And that
I just said I personally liked him. I didn't know if he was going to be like freaking turn Sam Darnold around. I'm not going to take that credit. But there's Bobby. Very giving today. Chris in New York on the Odyssey app. Let's see what Chris had to say after this embarrassment.
The problem is not Dak. The problem is not CD. The problem is not Mike McCarthy. the problem is not anything other than those two clowns running this organization. Jerry has morphed into Grandpa Simpson before our very eyes. He gives us the same static, dopey quotes, yeah, we're going to get better, whatever. And Steven is his father's son. Nothing changes with this team.
Oh. Did they cut off right there?
It sounded like it.
Okay. I love the accent.
I did too. I love the he's his father.
And then we got Tom in Jersey. Oh. Let's see if Tom can follow up here live on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Go ahead, Tom.
Bobby, RJ, Sean, how are we doing today?
What's up? Don't ever say Bobby's name first.
So I just wanted to touch base on a few points, and then I actually do have a question for Bobby. One, all these calls about Dak saying he lost the game or he's not it after the $60 million signing. I mean, I don't hear anybody questioning Jared Goff or Lamar Jackson or Brock Purdy after throwing one or two interceptions and losing yesterday to what we thought were going to be potentially below 500 teams, even though it's still early in the season. The defense is really the culprit here. Mike Zimmer has to do a better job. And I watched one play yesterday where I think it was a play action with Carr and Micah was coming up on the right side and just gets stonewalled by Alvin Kamara. And he wants the richest contract as a non-quarterback in NFL history. I mean, we got to do a better job than that. And Bobby, I have a quick question for you. It's more of advice. I have a buddy, Steve Tags, who pretends to be a Cowboy fan, but after I think he just secretly hopes that they lose, and after every loss or bad play, I get phone calls or texts saying, Dak's not it, or he bashes the team, but then the following week he wants to book a trip to Dallas to see them live. Yeah. Any advice before I drive into the middle of the desert and leave him in the middle of nowhere?
Thanks, Tom.
Look, I mean, I personally would think that would be enjoyable to bring him down here and just watch whatever polar extreme he gives you. That can just be entertainment right there. But to the point about Dak and criticism around, like, yeah, it's not always consistent because it is the Cowboys. Nationally, it's not going to be consistent because the Cowboys are the good will always be positioned as it's great. The not good will always be positioned as it's a disaster.
Right. It's a teenager. It's a teenager who can't control their emotions. When it's good, it's better than at this, and it'll always be good. And when it's bad, I don't see a way that it could ever be good again.
Jason in Dallas. Jason, you're up next here on Sean, RJ, and Roberto.
Hey, I just got a couple of questions for Bobby. One, is there something that they can do to kind of help Dak out? Because at this time, I just feel like there's no run game to help Dak be able to be what he needs to be. And I just feel like there's another question. I can't see it in the game, but does Bobby see anything where Dallas is trying to, like, change up the way they do things instead of just doing the same thing throughout the whole game?
Dak can be the biggest help to Dak. Like, that, to me, when I look at running game is not going to be good this year. Like, that's kind of what it is. Mm-hmm.
The front office for that.
The run blocking, I would guess, will get better because you have young players. Young offensive linemen typically do progress throughout the season. Young offensive linemen tend to finish the year better. It's not like you got to wait a year. They tend to progress as the season goes along and they get a rhythm. So that'll get a little better naturally from that point. But in all reality, you're just going to have to lean on Dak being the $60 million quarterback that he wanted to be and making those sort of pre-snap reads and doing things like that. And yeah, they do change some stuff up. They'll tweak, they'll adjust. Yesterday, like I said, the offense was a little different schematically. I don't know what pushed that, but yeah, they'll make adjustments as the game goes along.
Andreas in Dallas, you're next up here on 105.3 The Fan. Go ahead, boss.
Good morning, Sean, RJ, and Bobby. I just have one question about the defense. Last year's team, we did well against sub 500 teams, and then against the better teams, we just got blown out. And then this year, start off great against Cleveland. We don't know if Cleveland's going to be good or not. And then different coordinators, but do we have the right personnel in defense? Did we overrank this defense like we did last year early on and midway through the season? That's all I have.
No, I can answer that. And we didn't over. I don't think we overrated the defense. I don't think any of us went crazy after the Cleveland game. And we know that personnel wise, at least at D tackle, is a literal and figurative, humongous problem.
It's a hole. There's no doubt about that. Look, I think a lot of people fell into the Cleveland trap because we were asking the question: was it the defense or was it Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, but
like that was. But we didn't sit there and say, "Oh my God, this is I don't the
steel
any, curtain."
I don't think any. But no Tolo. Yeah, we might have overreacted to Mike Zimmer as a team. No Tolo was like, "This is a true contender. This is not a contending championship type win."
Right? No. We were like, okay, is Cleveland good or Deshaun just awful, right? Yeah. You know, that was a lot of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, look, the New Orleans game was clearly concerning. Cleveland game was a lot better. Baltimore will kind of, I think, be your tiebreaker early for, like, what is the reasonable expectation for this? If they're just as bad this week as they were against New Orleans, you've got a serious issue with your defense.
You know, and look, I like Lamar, and I push back on your he's a running back thing, but if he does, like, Derek Carr's a better passer than Lamar Jackson. Like, I don't think anybody's going to argue that one, but if he does a lot of what Derek Carr did to this defense, throwing the ball, now you're in a different situation.
How much accountability was in the locker room after the beatdown? Nick Eatman was there from DallasCowboys.com. He's next. On 105.3 The Fan.
Hey, and it's back to Sean and RJ right here on 105.3 The Fan segment here brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org and also brought to you by the personal injury lawyers, Frankel and Frankel. If you've been injured in a car or truck, right, call Frankel first, 214-817-333-3333. With Frankel and Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel and Frankel, the go-to car and truck attorneys in Dallas.
Second and 7. Shahid in motion, play action car, middle screen, Kamara 50, right at the 45,
outrunning
everybody, 40, 30, 10, touchdown.
Yeah, it's a touchdown.
Everything was. Good morning, Metroplex. It's Sean, RJ, and Bobby on your home of the Cowboys. We are now joined by Nick Eatman, Cowboys insider from DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the official casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. The column is up on the website.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Saints ran every stop sign. At what point in this first half did you start to feel shocked about what was happening?
The second touchdown, the second one, the deep ball, right down the middle of the safeties. That one, not the first one. Everybody seems to have a successful first drive. Even the Browns did that, you know, and they scored, but the second one, just going deep like that, about that was like, all right, well, you know, you could have a problem here.
Nick, what happened to Mike Zimmer's defense?
They couldn't tackle. I mean, that was the number one thing. They just absolutely couldn't tackle. And then you know, there was so much talk about getting this defensive tackles and the beef inside, and it was like, all right, we'll just run on the edge every time, every single time, just right on the edge. And they had no containment. They were going right at the corners. The linebackers, every linebacker I saw at some point just getting thrown around. I mean, the thing that was odd to me was this looked like the first game of the season when you don't practice. I mean, you don't play a lot in preseason. You're not that physical. But this team was very physical in the Cleveland game. They were the ones kind of bringing the wood, had a lot of big hits. Secondary was hitting. But in this game, they were the ones kind of getting manhandled around, and that was surprising for a week two game.
Why did Overshown only get 18 snaps?
I don't know that. I'm not sure. I don't. You know, Zimmer obviously doesn't talk after the game. He'll talk today, so that'll be good to hear that. But you know, I that would just be speculating to think that, you know, that maybe he's not. Maybe this is a situation where they are still kind of limiting him. I wouldn't think so, but that could be it. Or, you know, he's just not the guy that they feel like needs to be in every down in the scheme. I can't give you that answer. I don't know that.
Nick, one of the things we've been, spending the 3 hours this morning so far doing is kicking around the idea of, like, how are we power ranking the blame here? Where do we look at and say, this was the biggest problem, or this position group was the biggest problem? How would you rank, like, the top two or three biggest issues or areas of concern coming out of this game?
Well, I don't think they can run the football at all right now. And that's where I just always kind of think that there's a good – that's where it begins to me. And then I think it's 1A, 1B, depending on your style of football that you like to watch. Is it offense or defense? But, you know, there's defensive guys that'll say, well, if you can't stop the run, you can't win. And then there's others that say, if you can't run the ball, you can't win. Either way, they couldn't do either, and that was the problem. But so I would kind of rank both of those at the top. Because that is the formula for teams that are beating the Cowboys last year, playoffs, and then, you know, even throughout the season, and then this game. I mean, when you're running the ball right at will, the Cowboys can't do anything about it. And then they're not on the other side. They're not running the ball as well. I mean, they moved it, but when you get inside the 20, you know, that's they couldn't score. Dak's back there trying to throw. He's getting sacked, fumble. You know, he misses Zeke in the flat, but a lot of it is the first and 10 of the 15-yard line. You need to be able to run the football. And we weren't sure after Cleveland what they had, you know, within the running game, but it looks a little bit more clear now because, I mean, they just couldn't run it. And they're throwing – seemed like they were forcing things out there, trying to force Deuce and Rico, and that just wasn't working either.
Was this worse than the Packer game, the same or better?
Well, it's better because there's a game, Sunday. Yeah. So I think that's the better part. But
the performance.
I know Dak said that, you know, it would be a waste of time to compare the two. But I get that point. You know, when you're on it to a new year, it's different. You know, he's got a new contract, too. I mean, everything's different now. But I do think that it was similar in the way that your expectations for the game, you just weren't expecting that team to come in here. And you know, you didn't think Aaron Jones was going to look like Barry Sanders. You didn't think Alvin Kamara was going to look like Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
And you definitely didn't think Derek Carr was going to look like, and then name any quarterback you want. That, you know, 158.3. He had a perfect rating for a while. So.
Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com here on The Fan. What was it like in the locker room? Sorry, Choppy.
Yeah, I mean, they were a little, you know, dazed, I guess you would think. I mean, I think there was a lot of surprise. There was no finger pointing that I heard, but you know, just surprised with that game, but still kind of the vibe was a week two vibe. Like, you know, and Jerry kind of had the same thing as well. It's not a panic button type thing because it's very, very early in the season and bad days happen. I think bad day was what I heard a lot about a different player. You know, he had a bad day. It happens. Let's pick up the pieces and see what they do this week. But, you know, I mean, if you think that their focus, you know, will be stronger because of, you know, they lost this game, I can't imagine what Baltimore's is going to be being 0-2. So it's going to be a desperate type of game, I would think, for both sides.
Nick, how would you grade Dak overall in this game? That's one of the other things we've been talking about today is like how much is Dak graded or responsible for some of the struggles yesterday? What would you give him?
You know, I would think you would be in the, you know, in the C minus to D plus range, really. And the reason why it would be there is because, I mean, you're asking him, you know, you are not a balanced team. Like they're not balanced. They can't run it efficiently. So you're asking them to do everything, throw the ball, do all of that stuff in the red zone. And again, and if you're listening and you're like, oh, $60 million. I mean, like, That's out the window at this point. I think we got to stop with that. Yes, that's what they're paying for, but you're still paying for – I mean, Mahomes needs Pacheco to run the ball too. I mean, like, you need a balanced attack. You have to have that. So, but he was – but then again, you need – he's got to hit the CD or, you know, over the middle. And then whose fault that is, I'm not sure, you know, but he's got – I know it's his fault for not getting that ball to Zeke there. And he had – you know, in the flat, he had pressure, but still, you've got to be able to. Zeke's wide open. It was a perfectly schemed play, probably a touchdown or at least close to a first down there. But you know, he had some bad misses.
You know, to give Dak though a C minus D plus, that just I don't know. It just seems like.
Where do you got him at?
Well, not a C minus D plus. I mean, like they did score. They did score a ton of drives. They just settled for field goals, right? They were on pace for.
I was thinking
32 points.
I was thinking C minus at best. You would go better? I mean, there is a second half to the game.
There is. I would do C plus. I don't know. C minus just seems like C minus to me in today's world, that's like a fail.
Well,
they did lose by 25.
Not. I can hey, trust me when I tell you that C minus is not a fail, okay?
Arkansas.
Yeah. I mean, believe me, even in college, I mean, but you get worse than that. No, I just think that, and you're right. I mean, when you can't ever stop them, and Dad said it, I mean, when your defense is not stopping them, then you have all the pressure is on him to go and do things because it's not going to be the running game, you know, and it's going to be Dak. But, you know, I do think that they, you know, missed some opportunities to score down there, and you know, it has to go on him as well. So, all right, we can stay in the C range, C minus, but I mean, you know, it wasn't good enough. I mean, that's the thing. Everyone loves grades except for the players and coaches. I've never seen more. You get more reaction out of coaches and players when you do things like when you put an actual letter grade on something. Like in a magazine or whatever. I mean, Jason Witten only called me one time in his entire career, and it was because of a grade that was put in a magazine that I didn't even do.
What?
But it was funny. Oh, yeah. It was like an end of the year grade or whatever. And he didn't like the fact that that we had a grade that was like a C plus and Martellus had like a B minus.
So how did that phone call start?
I don't remember. It wasn't as pleasant as I thought. I was like, oh, Jason Witten's calling me. Excuse me, guys. And then it was just like, yeah. It was probably more like, yeah, who does the grades? You know? So it was like, oh, yeah. Coaches too. Coaches, they, you know, no one likes that because it's one of those things that we all relate to. Every one of us can relate to that. We know that what an A, B, C, D, and an F, and an I mean, and maybe this is more of an I for this whole team on, you know, because that's what week two is. It's incomplete. But man, as far as yesterday goes, you know, it was it was an F overall for the team because I mean you never stopped them. You never stopped them when it mattered, and they couldn't keep up. And you're right, Choppy, that I mean Dak was
they were moving it. They were keeping up, you know, with the yards, just not with the points. Yeah. They just weren't matching.
Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com. With all right, Nick, so you mentioned the running game, how it's not going to bail him out. We're getting a lot of questions on social media and the fan text saying, when is Dalvin Cook going to take the field for this team?
I would think 325 Sunday. I mean, 325 Sunday against the Ravens. Why not? I mean, you're trying deuce out there, and I thought – I just didn't understand that one. I didn't understand the forcing him, it seemed like, in the offense, but not in the kick return game where – they just keep kicking it to Wanye Thomas. And it's like, I don't understand that. And then him and Turpin would flip sides, and then the kicker would be like, all right, I kicked that side, you know, and I'm just kicking it at Wanye Thomas. I mean, and I don't understand why you don't have a running back, a guy that can actually see the lanes, and he's used to having the ball in his hands, and you want him in open spaces a little bit. I don't know. But then again, the problem wasn't what they were doing with kick returns. The problem was the fact that they kept having kick returns. That was the problem.
Well said. Thank you, brother. We'll talk Wednesday.
All right. See you guys.
Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort, proud to be the official casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Let's crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece. Maybe we can talk about some Rangers pitchers to make us feel better. That's next on The Fan.
And it's back to Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan segment here, brought to you by Classic Chevrolet. Classic Chevrolet in Grapevine is the number one Chevy dealer in the world. More Silverados than anyone else. This is Texas. This is Classic Chevrolet. Together, let's drive, relax, enjoy the difference based on new Chevrolet registrations 2023.
First down, Prescott back. Good block from Steele over the middle. Pass is intercepted at the 35-yard line as Jalen Brooks fell down. And running around, it's Paulson Adebo, and he's running to the right now, to the 45, to the 40. Adebo right to the 30, got Prescott turned around, and Prescott and Zeke Elliott tackle him.
That wasn't the highlight we were supposed to come back with.
I want to know something.
We were supposed to come back with Ezekiel Duran's one hit that the Rangers got
yesterday. Leave here for a week. Who told these guys this was a playoff game?
Jeez, Mike. Oh, that's good.
That looked like January. That looked like January Cowboys football.
Is it weird to y'all seeing, like, I know it was plastered all across ESPN this morning, and it was like, breaks Cowboys 16-game home winning streak. And I'm like, but not really, right? Like, I know they're saying in the regular season. But yeah, this is the second straight
time. Did you guys
time.
Build this up as a playoff game and I didn't hear about it?
Nope. It's like how we don't, we're not going to include like home run stats from the playoffs. Like, I get it. But yeah, we just all watch them get their ass kicked.
Let me start reading you my text that I got from Mike yesterday.
I
hope you guys will listen starting at 10 o'clock anyway.
2:19 p.m. You think the Cowboys come back? I didn't reply, and then I was like, all right, 2:36, I wrote back, yes. And then Mike wrote, opportunistic. I blame the offense today. You only needed 45 to win. Remember, the Rangers start in 20 minutes. And then,
don't read the next.
Not reading it. I look out for you. I don't know why, but I look out for you.
How'd the Rangers game go?
And then he wrote at 6:56 p.m., Cowboys are a road team in 2024. Now, are you suggesting road playoff team? They might not make the playoffs.
Sure.
What? Well, they're 1-0 on the road.
That's a good point.
Now, Mike, you are coming in here talking smack, and you're wearing that stupid color while your Jacksonville Jaguars are 0-2.
I'm
so
a Chiefs fan.
You can't. Okay, that's
at least Trevor Lawrence is honest in the press conference.
What'd he say?
We suck.
He said that?
Yeah, he did. He said right now, and he pretty much said the last, I can't remember, 7 games or 8 games. He's like, we're horrible. So at least he's not trying to, you know, say something that they're not. He's at least honest. And
they went 14-4, and then I think like 2-9,
oof,
right? And it's a brutal stretch.
Corey, what's coming up?
Guys, we will talk with Stephen Jones today.
Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you what. Do you feel like?
What's going to be your McDonald's order, Mike?
I don't know, Frampton. Do I feel like what?
Do you feel like if you watch the whole game, they just didn't execute?
Yeah.
I want to ask him, what did you think about the team's execution to see if he'll go old school Tampa Bay Bucks?
I'm in favor of it.
Or just ask, do you feel like the team got executed?
I want Corey to ask if he's embarrassed.
Just all have right. Alec at the drop.
Corey, are you angry or lifeless this morning?
Jerry?
Were you angry yesterday, I should say?
I mean, I was angry early. I was telling Kevin, my son plays his first real football game today for seventh grade football.
Oh,
baby.
And the coach had just sent out all these links, and I'd just gone over zone blocking with my son because he's a guard. And I'd just gone over outside zone and inside zone with him. And I was like, let's watch this game because the Kubiak family is known for that. And Carter's just sitting there going, oh, man, he was so good at this and this. And I was like, yeah, they're just destroying them. The defensive line looked like they had no clue what the game plan was. Like,
they
no
were learning
clue at
along
all.
With Carter.
It was 4 yards. I mean, they were getting 4 yards out. They should have gotten a legal man downfield in like every play. That's how far down their offensive line got.
So just
on a general push.
I'm like, what the hell? I mean, it felt like the defensive front didn't have any answers. So that's the 10-20 segment is two games, two blowouts. Which identity is the Cowboys? After these two blowouts, because one of them, you are like, there it is. And understandably, Kevin, it might be that their identity is exactly the same as it was last year. Yeah. They can blow out good, bad teams, but not compete with the good teams.
Are they the gatekeeper of the NFL?
Yeah.
We just found out the Saints are a good team.
Yeah, they are.
Did we find that out?
Yeah, the Cowboys are the measuring
gatekeeper.
Stick. We know Cleveland's not. We know at the end of the year, Cleveland will be at best 9-8. And we now know that probably New Orleans is going to be, I'll say at least 10 wins or better, because the Cowboys usually, if they're healthy, if I'll give them like the Arizona game last year, even though I still don't think they should have lost to Mr. Dabalina, but
Mr. Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina.
But I would say that most times, 90% of Cowboy games, they will tell you who's a good team in the NFL and who's not by the result of the game that they played against them.
Who do you think had the worst loss yesterday? I put this poll question out and I got roasted for asking a stupid question.
Everyone thought it was the Cowboys, when in reality,
could be Baltimore, could be San Fran.
Baltimore is pretty high up on that list, I feel like, from yesterday.
I had Ravens, San Fran, and Rams as options, along with the Cowboys.
I'll say, here's what would scare Cowboy fans. That look like the Dallas Cowboys that you're scared to death about.
Yeah.
I think for San Francisco, because I heard you guys do this segment, I think for San Francisco, yeah, it was a bad loss. But they're so concerned of, can we win the Super Bowl? Because they've been so close that a regular season loss in Minnesota without their best offensive weapon, they can kind of ride it off and say, hey, look, at the end of the season, we're going to have our 11-14 win somewhere in there. We have to prove that we can get back to the Super Bowl and win that stinking game where you saw the Cowboys. And I think for a lot of Cowboy fans, they're like, oh, crap, that's the Green Bay game. Oh, crap, that's how we play. It feels like when things get a little bit tough, if we get down, if the Cowboys get down by multiple scores early, it's a forfeit.
Yeah.
And you just kind of look at it and go, oh, no, that DNA is still there. It didn't go away in the offseason. So I think that's the scary part of the loss yesterday, is the DNA showed back up.
So you rewatched it today?
No, I have not gotten to the rewatch yet.
Okay.
No, I will do that this afternoon.
When did you turn it off, if you did?
I did not.
You didn't?
I probably should have, but I did not.
When did you stop paying attention, though? Because there's a difference between turning it off and just leaving it on and walking around.
Probably when the backup QB comes in, then I'm like, okay.
I'm just start doing some
and
laundry.
And then they get a completion straight away, and I was like, hold on.
Yeah, when Cooper Rush stepped on the field, that's when I was like, all right, I'm going
red zone.
Going to do some other things. Right? Yeah, red zone is exactly where I turned my attention to after that.
Michael, was the Mariners series the highlight of your TV broadcasting career so far?
It was awesome that you got Rocker and you got DeGrom back. So that was really cool. Obviously, they have two more starts the rest of the year. But yeah, that was really fun. And I will say, especially the Rocker game, because you just don't know. And it's one game. But in that one game, he did make major league hitters look silly. Like, to compare it to, let's say, Chichi Rodriguez or something like that. Like, yes, he was very successful.
He just nickel and dimed you.
Yeah. But you,
Gonzalez or Rodriguez?
Gonzalez. Whoever he is.
I think of the golfer, yeah.
But when you watched Rocker, you saw domination. And talking to people the next day,
well,
they were like, hey, there's a cutter there that still needs to be developed and through confidence, right? He doesn't feel confident throwing against major league hitters yet. And he's so short into his rehab process. He's thrown only 60-something innings in the last 3 years. So he already knows how to pitch without pitching. That's impressive. Cool. And so they believe that the changeup, I think he threw two of them. I think he threw two in the game. One, he threw 50 feet. The other was for a strike. But there's that to develop too in the offseason or throughout next year. So to see just a two-pitch pitcher dominate through four innings. Now, the Mariners for the season are not a good hitting team. For the last 15, 20 games, they are a good hitting team.
Especially the last four.
So they got Edgar Martinez, and gosh, believe it or not, when you teach guys to stay inside the ball, if the ball's pitched away, hit the ball away. If there's a single available, take the single. We can't hit a home run on a pitch that's not a home run pitch. If it's a home run pitch, get your best swing off, because that's the big deal in today's game. They tell every hitter, we want to see your best swing. Every time you swing, it has to be your best swing. Yet, you're like, if it's in the dirt, just give me your best swing. But I can't hit that ball. Just swing at your best, you know? And so, and I know I'm being very generic there. I'm going to extremes. But I think Edgar Martinez becoming the hitting coach and saying, well, let's become a hitter, not a swinger, has really helped them out.
What'd you think of DeGrom?
It was solid. If I'm comparing DeGrom to DeGrom, like if I'm comparing Jacob DeGrom to Mets Jacob DeGrom, well, that's not the same guy yet. We're hoping that it becomes that. But if he pitches like that, let's just say he pitches like that the rest of his career and stays pretty healthy, gives you kind of 25 starts a year, so 75 starts in the next 3 years. I'll take that. That's still a really good pitcher. Is that Jacob DeGrom of 2019? No. But that would still be a really good pitcher.
It's amazing to me how casual he makes 98 miles an hour look. How easy with movement. I knew I wanted that ball to be right there, and that's exactly where I put it at 98. I'm good.
It sucks that this rotation seems really fun now.
It does. Yeah, with 2 weeks to go,
and it's over.
Yeah, yeah.
They had one hit yesterday.
Well, Kevin predicted next year Rocker's going to be the opening day starter.
No, that's not what I said.
And DeGrom will be the second day pitcher.
I think they only hit one ball 100 miles an hour or harder. I think only one ball.
Not off the
game.
Yeah, not off the game.
Oh, yesterday in the game.
I wonder if DeGrom's spin rate was low though on those sliders.
So DeGrom, he had a.
Why don't you try watching it?
So
you can't tell spin rate by watching it, Sean.
DeGrom had three balls, Mike, that were hit harder in this game than he had given up all of last season in that month that he pitched.
Okay.
Four of the five hardest hit were his slider.
What do you think his 1 to 13 sarcasm is going to be today, his sarcasm level?
Two. I think it's going to be a 2, and it's going to be a lovely show.
Already.
And everybody should tune in for fair Cowboys coverage.
It's happening next. We have Jerry Jones tomorrow at 8:30.
How do you think that's going to go?
It's going to go. It's going to be a lot of selling, flushing what happened and selling.
Whenever he says that, could you ask the follow-up question? Isn't this a game that maybe you should linger on and learn a little bit more about?
You can ask Steven first.
Settle down just a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll ask him at the end of the day.
The KM.
Never mind, 13.
The KFC Bass Beast next on the Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.